So it's about having the system, spending the time to write the system, because if you've done it once and you're going to do it more and more times, then it'll save you time the next time that you do it.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Mark Kentwell, the director of PRD Nationwide in Newcastle. Fresh off the stage from ARIC 2015, Mark is going to share with us his background in real estate, the challenges he's faced in managing a rapidly growing business, and Mark shares his advice on how to master the art of auctions. But before we catch up with Mark, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Beepo, helping businesses save money and be more efficient with specialised outsourcing solutions. Visit beepo.com.au and find out just how easy it is to set up your own trusted outsourcing team that helps take your business to the next level.
So this week I'd like to give a little tip for any of you who are advertising on Facebook for your business, or those of you who are wanting to advertise on Facebook. I'd like to talk to you about custom audiences. Now, some of you might be boosting posts on your Facebook page or creating ads in the Ads Manager app or Power Editor. Well, custom audiences, rather than blanket everyone on your Facebook page or everyone in your local community, custom audiences let you reach people who you already know with ads on Facebook. Now, what I mean by that is people that have been to your website, people that are in your email database, and people in your database with a mobile number. And you can create custom audiences and target ads to those specific people. Now, how we do that is essentially people that have been to your website. Facebook gives you a little bit of code that you can give to your web developer to install on your website. It's very, very easy to do. If you're familiar with how to do this sort of thing in the back end of your website, you're more than welcome to try this yourself. It's quite easy to do, and they give you some really easy instructions to follow. And then when someone has been to your website and they go onto Facebook, Facebook recognizes that they've been to your website and serves your ad to those people. The second custom audience that I'd like to tell you about is people on your email database. And you can upload a CSV or Excel spreadsheet file into your Facebook Ads Manager account and create an audience and target ads to those specific people as well. Now, you don't need first names or any other contact information other than emails on that Excel spreadsheet. And essentially, if they've got a Facebook account verified with that email address, you can serve ads to those people. And the third and final custom audience is people that are in your database with a mobile number, and you upload that spreadsheet again into Facebook, and Facebook goes through that list and says, this person has a Facebook account with this mobile number, and you can serve ads to those people. So you can get really, really specific about your targeting, and you're not giving Facebook any more information than they don't already have. When someone signs up to Facebook, they have to have a verifiable email address, and they have to have a verifiable mobile number. So you can just get a little bit more specific about your Facebook advertising, which can be very, very effective for both your sales and property management departments. So if you'd like to learn how to set these up, you can just go to facebook.com/help, type into the help bar custom audience, and they can give you very, very clear instructions on how to set this up yourself. It is not difficult to do, and I encourage you to go and have a look at this. And we do have tutorials on our website. If you go to our lead generation services page, we do have a case study there from one of our clients who created these custom audiences and the kind of results that you can achieve by targeting those specific people. And we'll have the link there in the show notes from today's episode as well. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Mark Kentwell, the founding director of PRD Nationwide in Newcastle and Lake Macquarie. A multi-award winner in the industry, Mark is constantly achieving new sales price records for each category of property he sells. and in the last 5 years has sold more homes at auction than any other agent in Newcastle, Lake Macquarie or the Hunter. A nationwide recognised leader, Mark is stimulating, motivational and inspires ambition in his staff and anyone who is fortunate enough to have seen him speak. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh.
Mark, I've given our listeners just a little overview, but take a moment, tell us a little bit more about you personally and then give us an overview of PRD in Newcastle.
Okay, well, I started a business from scratch when I was 23 years old, so a pretty young principal. But my background prior to that was, so I was actually an underground electrician. I was a fault-finding electrician in the coal mine. So I sort of had always had a passion for buying and selling things. When I was younger, I was buying and selling motorbikes and trading where I could, whatever it could be. And I'd lived in 21 homes before I was 21. My parents had always bought and sold, and they'd basically worked their way up through the industries that they were in. So I kind of had a bit of a background where I understood business, I understood commerce, and I understood consumerism. But I took the path of engineering, went into the mines, chased the money, and some 7 years or so into the mining career, which I started quite early as well, I just got the feeling I could be doing something else. So, yeah, by virtue, I had done a real estate certificate with my partner at the time who was working in a real estate firm, and I sort of just did it to keep her company. But I ended up sort of falling in love with it, even though that was only the sort of boring compliance course. And, you know, 6 or so months later, I approached my father, who had started in commercial real estate only 18 months or so before, and I asked him if he wanted to go into business together, and so we did.
Well, of all the people we've had on the show, Mark, I think we're up to episode 32 or thereabouts, maybe 33. And of all the industries that people have come from into real estate, I don't think we've had anyone that's been an underground electrician. So there's a first. That's fascinating. But for those who aren't familiar with where you work and live, can you describe the area for our listeners, Mark, and what the market has been like in recent years up to today and the typical home that PRD Newcastle sell or manage?
Yeah, well, Newcastle is a really diverse marketplace, Josh. So it's got one of the broadest demographic spreads in Australia. In fact, companies like McDonald's, the restaurant chain, they actually do testing in Newcastle for their new product lines because they can get such a wide demographic spread in just one outlet. So we've got properties as cheap as $200,000. And I'm working on a transaction at the moment, a residential transaction on the beach, over $4 million. We've also got some vineyard and rural and that type of real estate all within sort of 30 to 60 minutes of the office. Though I suppose most of my work that I do personally is more prestige and project marketing. But the office does the whole spread.
Mm-hmm. And from a geographical spread point of view, you manage property, you were saying 30 to 60 minutes away from the property or thereabouts, Mark, as well?
Yeah, so the property management, we do go fairly far from the office, so an hour or so is not a problem. We do plan out all of our maintenance routine inspections, and, you know, the maintenance providers are all within Kiwi of each site. But yep. Predominant amount of transactions that we'll do as far as a sale point of view are Newcastle and Lake Macquarie, local government areas, you know, generally within 20 minutes of the office. We've got a very strong market share right with through that radius. The average sale price for the office probably somewhere hovers in around that $550 mark. My personal average price that I work on is probably more in the $750 to $900 bracket, but I do have another agent that works alongside me, Russell Dawson, that handles a lot of the legwork for sales that run the $750 as well.
Yeah, right. And how many staff does PRD Newcastle have these days, Mark?
We've got 63 on the payroll at the moment.
Wow.
And that's across multiple divisions. So one thing I've done from the start is I've set up, I've always aimed to have multiple divisions within the business. So when we opened in the first place, we chose PRD as a brand because they allowed us to do project marketing, commercial and residential, and property management, of course. We stopped doing commercial in around 2006 to 2008, although we still get inquiries a lot. We do pass those on to Colliers International mostly now, who we've got a good working relationship, and another couple of commercial agents in Newcastle as well. But when it comes to, I suppose, the divisions that we've got a residential sales division in Newcastle and Lake Macquarie, which we share administration, marketing, training and support. Then we've also got a Newcastle New Projects display suite outlet with a website and a whole marketing engine that runs for our off-the-plan house and land and apartments, townhouses. We've got a downsizing retiree service, which is targeted specifically at over 55s, and it's an end-to-end service helping them get their homes ready, get advice on how to sell without affecting their pension and how to buy into the right type of retirement living. We help manage that whole process for them. Our property management is a standalone business called Safe Hands Property Management. So it's got a standalone brand of its own. It does share some infrastructure, and it's got the ability to go quite far afield.
Fantastic. Well, Mark, having been lucky enough to get to know you over recent years and follow your success in the industry, I can't help but notice your belief and subsequent success with the auction method of selling real estate. So in your opinion, what is so unique about the sale of a property via auction compared to any other method? And what percentage of properties do you typically sell via auction these days?
Yeah, well, the three main things, Josh, about auction that are an advantage for the seller are actually the same advantages for the agent. So those advantages are that the first one in particular is that there's no ceiling on the price that can be achieved with an auction. So very early in my real estate career, actually, of the first three residential listings I had, two of them were auctions. And I had done some training courses on auction very early with PRD Nationwide back in 2005. And I went and did some research, and I saw that the top agents, the top sort of 20 agents across the country that I could find at the time, they all used auction as their main method of sale, but hardly anyone was doing it in Newcastle. So we'll get to that in a moment, I suppose. But one thing is definitely an advantage. I needed to find out why it was good for sellers. Well, no ceiling on the price. That was point one. Point two was that it puts a deadline on the campaign. So it's got a deadline for the buyers to perform under, but also for the owners to work towards when the anticipated sale date or sale timeframe would be. And the third one, which is a big one in a lot of marketplaces and a lot of property types, is that it's an unconditional sale contract. So no cooling off period, not subject to pest and building, no finance clause. So you're going to bed that night, the agent knows they've sold, the buyer knows they've bought, and the vendor knows that the money's gone into the bank.
And what percentage of properties would you typically sell via auction these days compared to any other method, Mark?
Well, it has certainly evolved. When I started off, I used to offer it to nearly every owner, but I didn't get much take up. I was hovering between 10 and 20% there for a number of years while the Newcastle marketplace kind of caught up to the advantages of auction. And but I introduced a system that I worked on for some time called the friendly auction system, where I've tailored that to helping it be easier on buyers to purchase at auction with free pest and building reports, assistance with price guide, finance, free legal advice, and a bit of flexibility around terms and conditions. And that now has me doing somewhere between 66 and 80% of my properties by auction in any given month. And as far as the business goes, a lot of my other sales agents, so the sales team, there's 14 listing agents, and a lot of those agents that have only ever done private treaty before coming to work for us are now embracing the auction method as well.
I think we're only really scratching the surface here, Mark, and I'm sure a lot of people listening would love to learn a little bit more. And I think we'll have your details at the end of the show where they can maybe get in touch and have a bit more of a chat about that. But in the meantime, sure. When I was researching for this interview, I very quickly stumbled upon the numerous awards that you've won over your career. And let's just have a look at a couple. There's been the Australian Regional Principal of the Year across all brands at the Australian Real Estate Awards. You've been ranked in the top 50 agents on the real estate business, top 100 agents in Australia for numerous years, PRD's number one selling principal nationally from 2008 to 2013, and the list goes on. Is there one award, Mark, that sticks out in your mind as an extra special moment in your career? And if so, why is that the case?
There's been a couple of key moments, I suppose, but, if you're asking for one, probably the one that I received last year was a pretty humbling experience to receive the REB Online's Australian Principal of the Year Regional Award. Was a big one because it's across all brands, Josh. There's around 10,000 offices in Australia. Nearly half of those are regional offices. Of course, not all of them have nominated for the award, but everyone's got the opportunity to nominate for the award. And I suppose, in a room full of peers that I respect greatly, and some of the finalists were just amazing principals, to receive that acknowledgement was a great moment. And I suppose, that probably sits in somewhere. Like, the individual awards are great, but what really gets me going is something where the company has done well. So, in 2014, we also were acknowledged as number 5 on the real estate REB Online top 50 offices ranking. And that was probably realistically a prouder moment for me, because that's the whole business's performance and it's being benchmarked against anyone who wants to enter from, you know, the entire real estate industry in Australia.
I'd love to ask you a question, Mark. This wasn't something that we had down for the interview, but I'd love to ask you, what's your opinion on what the impact of awards has on a real estate business, and what advice would you give to someone as to the benefits of maybe having a go at entering some of these awards themselves? What benefit is there to the office and the individual, do you think?
Yeah, Josh, well, look, a lot of people look at it from a surface point of view that, oh, look, you know, there's an award, you know, it's just bragging, whatever it might be. For me, it's less about having the award to brag and market, although, of course, we make the most of those opportunities when we receive them. It's probably more about the process that you go through to either qualify for the award or be nominated for the award, or the submission that you do for the award, because it forces you to think about, well, how do we stack up in these benchmark categories? You know, is it just on sales performance? Is it on, you know, a variety of things, client satisfaction, list of sell ratio, staff engagement and satisfaction? So you start looking at all these categories and thinking, geez, where do I need to improve? Where does our business need to improve? And it starts making some of these things that might have been in the background when you're busy doing day-to-day business become more of a priority and more urgent. But it also forces you to reflect on just how far you've come. And it is important every now and then, when, especially if you're kind of entrepreneurial and always driving to achieve more, to just sort of sit back and just reflect on how far you've come and sort of just sort of be a bit confident about that you're on the right path, that you do care, you're doing the right things, and, you know, possibly pat some of the managers on the back that work with you or yourself if you're a small business and say, you know what, this is a rewarding process and I love what I do and, you know, let's keep going. So it forces you to look at that a bit differently, and I think out of the results of submitting, even though there's a bit of a anxiety there, whether you win or don't win or where you come in relation to others,
yeah,
I think it does force you to really stretch and go to that next level.
Well, Mark, I'd like to turn the spotlight onto moments of your career that have made you who you are today. And we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate. But here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to the ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded. So with that in mind, can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your journey in real estate of where you felt like you'd failed? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Yeah, Josh, it's a good question. And I suppose, you know, in the decade that I've been in real estate, it's been a pretty rapid growth curve. So, you know, you've sort of had to learn not only real estate as a profession and becoming a leader in the marketplace in that regard, but also how to be a leader, how to be a mentor, how to be a good manager. And I learned a very difficult lesson just recently with an employee that was also a good friend of mine that was working with us. And, you know, in the couple of years that we worked together and I worked side by side with them, there were certainly no issues that came up during that period. You know, there was never any talk about money as far as being fair or unfair or who was doing more work than the other. And I thought it was a great working relationship, actually, and in the time that the person had worked for me, the group certificate certainly went up, and, you know, and there was a lot of camaraderie there, and I could see that they were working very hard as well, and I often acknowledge that verbally, and also, you know, I'd never heard anything otherwise. After a while, that person decided to go back into a career that they were passionate about, that they'd been in before real estate. And it was a very smooth sort of exit. It was a parting of ways, and it was handshakes and, that you know, wishing each other all the best, and then just wanted to choose an industry that didn't have the same time constraints or stress levels. So I thought that was all excellent. And and even though that was obviously a lost member of our team, I thought it was a good way to part. So there was no problems at that point. But after the parting of ways, and there was a few questions coming up over pay slips and what people were owed and what deal people were on and stuff like that. I don't know if there was outside influences involved in or not, but a couple of questions were raised, which I sort of addressed, but none of it ever got to be done in person. And I later found out that person, you know, was starting to question the deal that they were on, if it was fair and if they were working too hard, the amount of money. And you know, like, it was quite difficult for me because in my mind and even, you know, looking at it still, going back on everything, everything was signed off. Everything was done above board. Everything was done in a consultative process. But, you know, I didn't pick up on any hints or clues that the person was unhappy. And I had to take responsibility for that because, even if I felt things were okay, and even if the other person didn't come to me openly and talk about it, I've obviously missed it. And you know, and it hasn't ended in the way that I wish that it had of. And you know, I try and constantly go back and look for ways that it could have been done differently, and I'm still struggling on it. So that was something that kept me awake for a lot of nights. And you know, like you like to develop friends in the industry and peers, and you know, even with staff members that have left, you want it to be on a grounds of, you know, the journey is moving on. And I suppose what I've learned from it, after all the anxiety that I went through, is that even if someone says something's okay, even if someone says that they understand something, that to check, to double check, to get it in writing, to get a response, and to be constantly checking in that someone's happy with where they're at. Now, that doesn't mean every time they put their hand up and they say, I want more, or I think I deserve more, you give it. But some people don't communicate as openly and as others. And you know, that's probably been a really hard learned lesson, but a lesson that I'll take with me moving forward, that, you know, any new person that comes into the business, or even people that are currently in the business, that every single thing that we do for them is clarified. They understand where all the money's going, where the splits are going, what it's being invested in. And, you know, and since that, I did take that lesson, and I went and applied it to all the people that were currently still with us, and I went through it. And a lot of them were quite appreciative for me to explain it in more detail. And they actually fully understood, and I just wish I could go back in time and do the same with that person that's gone.
Look, Mark, thanks so much for sharing that story. I think there's a few value bombs in that that I think a lot of business owners can take out of really your, I guess, looking at how you could have improved on, you know, the emotional intelligence side of being a leader. Would you agree with that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, definitely. And it's something you start to, you develop new senses that you didn't know already exist, or you learn to turn senses on that you've always had, but they sort of just pass you by. So, you know, with this one, we've got some core values. We've got a way that we do business, and we've got a model that I've spent so much time on. Like, I've got a brain for systems, and I've consulted some of the industry's best, and we've think tanked it together. And I think that we really do have a model that really works for accelerating people in this industry and helping them have an amazing life. But it's got to be explained how you came up with that, and it's got to be explained, you know, how this model works and why it works better than others. And yes, you can go down the road and get an extra 5%, but there's 10 things that are actually missing, so that you end up worse net. But you've got to be good at explaining that, and also picking up on people's cues that they leave, because not everyone's as open and transparent as far as what they're thinking.
Well, Mark, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way to go about growing a real estate business? And again, take us there with you to a moment that stands out in your journey in real estate. What happened? What was going through your mind, and how did that make you feel?
Yeah, Josh, this is a good one. And, you know, there's probably two specific ones I come up with, but, you know, the one that's really jumped into my mind first is, and very recently as well, and, you know, after a decade in business, we're still looking for ways to improve. But one thing I think that we have got right is just the onboarding of new agents. And there was one agent in particular that's been with two other firms in her career. And she had been an excellent employee at both of those firms. One of them, she just outgrew the brand, and they didn't really have a marketing auction performance culture. They were pretty much just a corner store. So she'd evolved from that brand and went to a brand that was a bit slicker and had a good marketing engine, a good profile, a good presence, and, you know, a good backing behind. And in that brand, she really succeeded and started growing. But some of the promises, I suppose, that were made to her coming over to that brand didn't really come true. So after a period of time in there, working very hard and getting some good results, just had sort of noticed that things weren't evolving the way they were supposed to be. And I'd been sort of introduced to this person by some other industry colleagues that sort of said, look, if you're going to go anywhere, you should consider PRD. And so I'd had some confidential meetings with her, and I also met with a partner and who had a similar background as me and being an electrician, and very skeptical, I suppose, because he'd sort of seen the last move and how good it looked and what turned out. So we had a lot of I offered right from the start to have him involved in all the discussions, and I was very upfront around the way that everything works and what our proposition is, I suppose. So I talked about my own growth in the industry, how I would apply things to the sales process, and you know that our formula was really that we help our agents reach a higher level of gross commission income. We can help them do that and still achieve a balance, which is very important. This lady with a young kid, and also, I suppose we weren't offering as high a split as some of the competitors might dangle the higher split out there in the market, but we offered amazing support, amazing culture, amazing training, a sharing environment, and I suppose, yeah, well, I was very upfront about, you know, how much she was going to end up with in, out of each deal, but also where I could see that she would be as far as profile and income goes within a period of 3, 6, 9 months. So, yeah, that was a really good process because it was all asked of me up front and I discussed it up front. Now, when she actually made the decision to come and work with us, I knew that she was coming completely as a volunteer. It wasn't being done from a point of view where, okay, well, this is how we do it and it'll all be really good and sign here and then off we go. It was every little part of the employment agreement we'd given, go away, look at this, come back, ask questions, talk to a couple of our staff. And she'd spoken to a couple of other staff that had been at other firms before and then come to our firm. And they were very positive interviews and I didn't actually put them up to any of the wording. They kind of had their own story to give and they're very transparent people in that regard. So when she did come over, I was really conscious about the first, you know, 30, 60, 90 days being exactly like we said it would be or even better. And it was a real defining moment when we went away on a trip to the National Awards just recently in 2015, and we took a team bus down to the awards and her partner came with her, and she hasn't been with us for a full year yet. So the awards actually, you know, she wasn't to be getting any awards, but being part of the culture and seeing what was happening with the other guys, and also that we'd done everything that we said we would with support, with coaching and training. And she said to me on that night, look, this is everything that you said it would be, and it's more, and I'm just so glad I made the move. And the partner sort of said to me as well, like, you know, this, you've done exactly what you said you were going to do. I can see why your business is successful and we're now advocates of you and PRD and growing your team. So what can we do to help you grow your business? And that was a really proud moment.
Yeah, look, I think that's a really great story. Thanks for sharing that, Mark. I think there's a number of lessons in that, but no more importantly that, you know, a lot of agents in the industry talk about building being an attraction agent. But I think really where the magic starts to happen is when you have an attraction business and other agents want to come and work for you. I think in some aspects that's more important than being an attraction agent. When you've got a team of attraction agents who are attracted to the business, I think you've got a pretty powerful team of stars there. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And it's just an amazing culture. It's amazing energy. And look, everyone goes through their highs and lows in real estate. Sure. People carry some baggage. People will carry a bad deal around with them sometimes. But even the way we've designed our office so that people can have their own space and have their own conversations and have their own moods, but the central and congregational areas that we have and the way that we do training every single week and everyone must attend and the camaraderie that we have as colleagues and peers in the industry, everyone's actually in a performance mindset. And I sort of liken it to the Australian Institute of Sport for real estate agents. If you're going there, it's because you want to improve. But the improvement is as a whole. It's not just in getting, you know, more numbers so that you can get a trophy. It's about improving, you know, your personal situation, like what are your relationships like at home? What's your health like? What's your eating like? You know, do you go away on holidays? Are they the holidays that you want to have? You know, are you driving the car that you want and investing in all that sort of stuff as well?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, take us to today, Mark. What are you working on right now that's getting you guys fired up there at PRD Newcastle?
Well, we've got a number of balls in the air at the moment, which are all doing exactly what we've wanted them to, basically. So one of the things I get really passionate about in business, and I suppose it's a creative thing sort of coming out, is creating a new idea that hasn't really been explored in the marketplace and turning it into a business and then empowering others to help grow it in partnership. So the Newcastle New Project section of our business that we're running at the moment is just absolutely on fire. We've got people coming to us from, you know, all around New South Wales as far as developers saying, look, we're doing something in Newcastle. We've heard you guys are the people to talk to. And we've just got an amazing sort of marketing process for off-the-plan developments. We're creating buyers that weren't really buying off the plan before. We've got some dedicated staff in there, and that's just excellent. The downsizing retiree division, it's starting to kick off as well. It's taken a while to educate the marketplace and also our own team members on what it is that we're offering for these downsizing retirees that often have a timeline of anywhere in the next 5 years, and how we're helping sort of get them ready to make that transaction, and we're empowering other members of the sales team to do that, but then also hand-holding them through the process of downsizing and making it as profitable as possible. That's working well.
And what about you personally, Mark, knowing that you are actively involved in as an industry ambassador for many different causes? Is there anything else that you're working on today that you can let us know about?
Yeah, well, look, I've recently been exposed to a new industry communication platform called Follow It. It's a website portal that I suppose you can compare it. It's a cross between an online portal for real estate, but also social media. It's got a very live aspect, so you communicate to the whole market live. And you know, it's kind of launching as we speak, but it's been in development for about 3 years. So I was lucky enough to kind of get a very early look at that, and just to provide my thoughts, because I'm right into technology and what's coming next. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, wow, well, this could be a game changer. So I've been very keen to sort of get more involved with that and sort of get involved in the think tank and sort of see how this can work. And I think it'll run alongside the other portals very well. It's not about taking over. It's actually about providing a new way of the marketplace to communicate with the consumers. So I'm pretty excited about that part. That's happening at the moment. On top of that, just as far as my own personal sales side of things, I've sort of really made the decision recently to focus on a specific area and price range and empower a couple of other people to work on some of the other referrals that come my way. And it's actually meant that more of the business that I'm after is actually coming to me as an agent. And it's fun to still be a selling agent when you're managing director of a business. I've got a great CEO, amazing CEO, amazing people and performance manager, amazing training people. So I can still do hands-on sales roles but still be a leader in the business.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the Perceptions of Real Estate Agents survey produced by CoreLogic. It found that only 3% of vendors were influenced by an agent's social media presence during that agent selection process. Considering the amount of time that some agents spend on social media posting their listings, expecting to generate sales-ready leads, I think it's important to consider how social media can be used to add value to the lives of the people in your community instead of using it purely for push marketing. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Mark, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
John McGrath has definitely been an inspiration to me throughout my career. I read some of his books very early on, and I just liked the way that he'd also come from a totally different industry. He thought about the business and how it could be improved. He set some standards and applied them, and then just went about sharing that passion with others, and he sort of recruited like-minded people around him, and often against strong opposition, he broke through. And now I think that what he's done for the Australian real estate industry, he's brought it into a whole new era. And having had the pleasure of meeting John recently and having him book me for Arica, I've just got a very similar sort of thought process to probably what he employed many years ago, and I too want to leave a legacy on the industry, and he's been a great inspiration.
Mark, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Favourite thing in the world to do when I'm not at the office would be dining out with my wife, Natalie. We are absolutely passionate about good food. So, we've been at some of the world's top 10 restaurants. And whenever we travel, we always book it around some amazing dining. So I would say a degustation at an amazing restaurant, Michelin star preferably, and with matching wines would be absolutely my favourite thing in the world to do with my wife.
Well, for everyone listening, Mark, what's your favourite out of all the restaurants you've been to for our listeners?
Mate, my best restaurant experience ever would have been Per Se in New York, which is at the time it was number 2 in the world list restaurants, or in the top 10 at least. It's above Columbus Circle in New York, and just an amazing dining experience. And we happened to be engaged earlier that day in Central Park. So, it was about a 14-course meal and matching wines the whole way through. It was probably about a 4 to 5 hour dining experience. And, yeah, just unbelievable. They had white truffles there that had been harvested within 24 hours from Europe. And they brought them out and showed you the truffles and then shaved them over your meal. And that was an optional course that we, of course, took. So, mate, it would take me an hour to explain the meal, but it was amazing.
That's fantastic. Thanks for that suggestion. Mark, what is your favorite business book that you've ever read and why?
I would have to say there's two. One of them would be The 4-Hour Workweek with Tim Ferriss, a fellow ARIC speaker and just an amazing thought leader. It just helps you compress time. It helps you understand how much more you can get done when you outsource and leverage. So that book combined with The 4-Hour Body was just amazing literature. And The 4-Hour Body is excellent for your sort of whole work-life balance and eating. But, the other one would be You Inc. By John McGrath. Just because I read it at a very critical time in my career. I read it at the start when we'd taken on this franchise brand, but no one knew who they were in Newcastle. And I just realized that I wasn't just an agent working for a brand. I was actually the leader of my brand. And I had to go out there and I had to grow my own personal profile and network. And just to have standards and things that I believe in, and it had to wash through everything that I did. So I think that's helped accelerate me, that thinking, and that book helped kickstart that thinking.
Mark, do you have a favorite technology or online resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
Look, I do. Like, the number one thing is my iPhone 6 Plus. So it's kind of like the bit of hardware that's amazing. Since the iPhone family came out, I was using other devices with other operating software prior to that. And as soon as I went to iPhone, I never read the instruction manual and I could understand every part of it. It made business quicker. I implemented systems with, calendar sharing and the way that we did a communication tool within the office where we had an SMS thread amongst the team where we would just constantly be SMSing each other through the day. So you're not getting those calls, voicemail, calling back. Then we went to voice notes, which was Heytel we were using a lot, which is probably more a fun app that was introduced, like a walkie-talkie that records, but a little bit unreliable. So more recently, the most effective app, and write this down if the listeners haven't got it already, is Slack, slack.com. It's an amazing app. Have you heard of that, Josh?
I have. I'm quite fascinated to hear you suggest that because we obviously working in the web development world with a lot of developers and all over the world. That's what they use. That's their go-to tool for team management and task management among teams all over the planet. So I'm quite fascinated that you're the first real estate brand I've heard that are using it.
Yeah, so I like to sort of field test something before I put it into the whole business. And I've been using it in my sort of personal EBU within my office for about 3 months now and maybe more, 4 months. Right. And just absolutely game-changing app. So I used to run an SMS thread, like I said, where I'd have my 5 team members on a thread, and all day long we would have the heading section in the thread, which iPhones allow for, of the property, and then we'd have the message and who it applied to underneath. Problem was, though, that there'd be so many messages on that thread. Every time you've got to have an appointment, there's 16 new messages. You've got to go back up. You've got to find them, but there's no way of searching them. Whereas with Slack, we've got channels running down the side of every property we're working on, listings that we're chasing, listings that are on the market, listings that are pending, individual clients, and it's all categorized, current auctions, and you can tag each other in requests so that you get alerts if it's been you that's been mentioned. You can read the thread at any time. For an individual property, for example, if we've been out to an inspection, let's say my buyer manager's just run an inspection and it's 6:05 and he's finished at 6 and the client's ringing me to see how that's gone, I can be on the phone with my headset, open up that property channel. There's a photo of the inspection slip that he's uploaded into there with the notes about who's the best buyer, when they want to come back, and I can be communicating on the spot with the client about that. Then I can mention that I've spoken to the owner in the channel. We can run the whole day without having to call each other and talk for extended periods of time and stuff around with voicemails. We can search things in the past as well.
No, fantastic. I think for anyone listening, if we just break it down as well, Mark, explain what the actual tool essentially does. For anyone, you know, in real estate, they're sending emails back and forth all the time, that sort of thing. Essentially, what Slack does, from my understanding of the software, that essentially you have an individual stream, or it's kind of like a feed, a news feed, right, for any topic or property that you're looking after. Have I got that right?
Yeah, so it's a team communication tool that can basically pretty much remove the need to have an internal email or internal SMS, and you can basically alert someone when they need to know if you're asking a question of them, or they can just look at the feed as it goes through, the live feed. You can search it at any time. It's just so much more relevant than the other traditional forms of team communication.
Well, Mark, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. But if you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Yeah, that's a really good one. Look, I think that people don't stop and spend enough time on creating a system around something that they've done that worked. So, for example, when you start to get to higher volume, you either start to drop things that help to get you there, as far as things that are effective, or you get really effective at doing them. And getting effective at doing them is often about writing a system for it. If you're going to do it more than once, it needs to be a procedure or a system. And so, for example, on a Saturday with the open homes that I run, I will generally book somewhere between 3 and 10, but let's say about 5 on average, listing appointments to go and visit people's homes. I'll do that from my open homes on Saturday because I've got a process of finding out where the owners are from. They might have engaged with us in some way before, process of booking it, and then a process of going out and doing it. Now, some agents will make hundreds of phone calls in a week and not book a single appointment, just interrupting strangers they don't know, or calling people back without any relevance to the conversation. Whereas I've got a system for that, but it's got to be followed. It's got to be followed exactly the same every way, every time. So my whole team knows that when we book a listing opportunity appointment, you know, that we've got things that we do as far as how we invite each other in the calendar, how we communicate in Slack, how we put it into our database, the pre-listing kit that they get sent off. Now, if I didn't have those systems, I wouldn't win half those opportunities and probably half those appointments wouldn't be confirmed. So it's about having the system, spending the time to write the system, because if you've done it once and you're going to do it more and more times, then it'll save you time the next time that you do it.
Well, Mark, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote? And how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Yeah, look, it's one that comes up over and over again. And look, I think I first heard it from Brian Tracy, but I apologise to the original author of this quote if I've got it wrong. I heard Brian Tracy say on a set of tapes a long time ago, and it was actually a cassette tape I heard it on. And it was from before my era, but still very relevant. And is there's no traffic jams on the extra mile. So I think about it all the time that just about when you're starting to get fatigued, just about when you feel like that you don't want to sort of make that extra call, or you're going into a listing appointment, it's really quite late and you haven't had dinner and you're sort of thinking, oh, God, I should just be at home relaxing right now. You get that bit of energy, you pump yourself up, you realize that these people are seeing you for the first time in this environment. You really need to bring everything to the table and you've got to play, I've got another saying that I use myself. You've got to play every point like it's match point. So, you know, if you're going into that last appointment of the day or if you're going to pick up the phone for that extra phone call, you've got to realize that a lot of other people would have dropped off at this point. And if you can go just that little bit extra, you're in the clear. And if you win this one, then it's just you're going to be extending the lead over and over again. So there's no traffic jams on the extra mile would be the biggest one I've got for you.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Mark has shared with us today along with all of the show notes by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Mark Kentwell. Well, Mark, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to enjoy the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about PRD Nationwide Newcastle?
I do have a LinkedIn profile and a Twitter account. The Twitter is just at Mark Kentwell, all one word. I think LinkedIn is Mark Kentwell 1, but you'll definitely find me on there if you have a look. And as far as friendly auctions go, there's a lot of resources available online and there's a mailing list that you can get part of for any new updates. And that's friendlyauctions.com.au. So there's a bit of stuff there that they can learn about that system as well.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
My pleasure to be involved, and I hope it was of value to some of the listeners.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, the show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.